Behind the Arc, a look around the country in college basketball. Behind the Arc, hear about the week's biggest storylines, from blue bloods to mid-majors. Go in-depth on the week's biggest matchups, bracketology, and which small conference schools should be on your radar. Behind the Arc, here's your host, Joel Silverberg.
It is the Behind the Arc podcast. I appreciate you checking it out. I'm Joel Silverberg. I'm at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. You can follow the radio station at Sports Radio WNML. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Behind the Arc, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, our website, 991thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Radio WNML app powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all. It has been a while since we've gotten a bracketology update. We'll look at where Joe Lunardi has Tennessee in his latest bracketology from earlier this month, and some recruiting news that is not great for Tennessee after getting some big news the week before. We'll start there and talk about bracketology a little bit later here on the Behind the Arc podcast. But again, I appreciate you taking the time to check out Behind the Arc, and feel free to leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts as well as a review. Hit that subscribe button and tell every college basketball fan you know about the Behind the Arc podcast. We will keep talking college hoops until we get to the start of the college basketball season. So Tennessee, of course, got a big-time commitment from Kennedy Chandler not too long ago, the number one point guard in the class of 2021. He is a Memphis native, but he is transferring to Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas, and that's where he's going to play his senior year of high school basketball. But a Memphis native who chose Tennessee over Memphis, over Duke, over North Carolina, over Kentucky, a really big get for Tennessee. And Chandler said at that time, "I'm planning on helping Tennessee recruit some other guys, including 5-star power forward Jabari Smith and fellow 5-star power forward Paolo Banchero. Those are two top 5 players in the class of 2021, and that was expected to help Tennessee continue to climb up the recruiting rankings. Again, right now, Kennedy Chandler is Tennessee's only commitment for the class of 2021, but some recruiting news has kind of shaken up what Tennessee was hoping to accomplish over the course of this class. And going in, I think we could all agree that landing 3 top 15 recruits in a single recruiting class for Tennessee is something a little bit out of the ordinary. And Paolo Banchero has made his commitment to Duke. He is ESPN's number 3 ranked prospect in 2021. He is also the number 3 ranked prospect in the 247 composite rankings. And he has chosen to commit to Duke over Tennessee and Kentucky. He's the second top 10 recruit for the Blue Devils, which already has AJ Griffin. So Duke, two top 10 5-star guys for the class of 2021. And that takes one of the two guys that Tennessee was heavily pursuing in terms of top 5 front court players off the board. Tennessee, of course, still trying to pursue Jabari Smith. And at this point, it's believed that Tennessee has a decent shot at landing Smith. But at this point in time, Paolo Banchero off the board. That was somebody that Tennessee was pretty high on and heavily pursuing and trying to find a way to see if it could get after Paolo Banchero and get him to join Kennedy Chandler. Banchero, of course, from Washington, a 6'9", 235-pound power forward, the number 3 player in the country for the class of 2021. Also had offers from Gonzaga and North Carolina, and just an all-around front court player that Tennessee was really hoping it could have a shot at landing. And instead, Banchero elects to go to Duke, which it's tough when you're going up against North Carolina, Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky. You're not going to win every recruiting battle that you have going up against those 4 or 5 other schools. So Tennessee gets Kennedy Chandler, said he was going to attempt to bring in guys like Jabari Smith and Paolo Banchero. Banchero electing to go to Duke, and a lot can change. Decommitments can happen before NLIs are signed. But as of right now, Paolo Banchero off the board for Tennessee. And Tennessee still pursuing Jabari Smith, a 6'10 power forward who's the number 4 ranked player in the country, number 2 at his position behind, of course, Paolo Banchero, and still keeping his team list pretty open as being one of the top players in the country. But Tennessee, it appears at this point that there is a decent chance for Tennessee running for Jabari Smith, coming, you know, down up from Georgia, going to Sandy Creek High School, somebody that could potentially come in with Kennedy Chandler, and that would be a big recruiting get for Tennessee to have 2 5-star recruits in back-to-back classes in addition to Josiah Jordan James a couple of seasons ago. So Tennessee already has 3 consecutive classes with 5-star commitments and is trying to make it 2 in a row with multiple 5-star commitments with Jabari Smith. And there's still so much on the table for Tennessee in the class of 2021. Randy Brady, a 3-star guy that the Vols are very high on. A couple of other 4 and 5-star recruits that Tennessee is showing interest in. Harrison Ingram, the small forward out of Dallas. Dallin Coleman, the shooting guard, the 6'6 shooting guard, a 4-star recruit out of Florida. And so Tennessee is going to continue to be pursuing these guys without a doubt as the season goes along. And I think it's just a little bit of a tough blow because Tennessee had really high hopes for Banchero. It still has high hopes for Jabari Smith. And the recruiting board is going to change, obviously, as commitments are made and decommitments, and Rick Barnes and his staff are going to approach different prospects differently as the season goes along. And Tennessee is going to try to bring in the best talent that it can into Knoxville. And there still has to be a lot to like about this team. You've got Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson coming in, not to mention Corey Walker, a 4-star player, which probably doesn't get enough attention just because of, well, how deep of a class it is with Springer and Johnson. But any other time before this past season, if a 4-star recruit had committed to Tennessee, it would be a big deal. Keep in mind that team from a couple of years ago that went to the Sweet 16 with Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, Kyle Alexander, 4 guys that all ended up in the NBA this past season. You're talking about a team with entirely 3-star guys. DJ Burns was the only 4-star player on the roster. He didn't play. He redshirted and then transferred to Winthrop, so he never actually played a game for Tennessee. Now here you are with a bunch of 5-star talent, and Corey Walker's a 4-star power forward that really isn't being talked about. I mean, he could come in and make a big impact, and fortunately, he doesn't have to because of the depth that you have with John Fulkerson. Now that Eve Pons is coming back, there's not really a ton of pressure on anybody else that has to step into a significantly bigger role. It allows EJ Anasicki to be a guy that, as a grad transfer from Sacred Heart, can come in off the bench and do some things. He's not going to average a double-double in the SEC the way that he did at Sacred Heart last season. It doesn't require Drew Pember and Olivier Kumwa to come in and make a big impact right away. It doesn't require Uros Plavsic to make a significant step forward from some of the struggles that he had this past season. And instead, it allows those guys to continue to develop while Tennessee's 2 starting front court guys are going to continue doing what they were really successful at last year. And that's Eve Pons being elite defensively and showing off incredible athleticism. And it's John Fulkerson showing that he can be a really true offensive weapon in the front court, as he proved against Florida and Kentucky late last season. So Tennessee still pursuing guys on the recruiting trail, but it is kind of funny when you put it into perspective about Tennessee being disappointed that it may only have 1 5-star guy in the class of 2021. And that's not set in stone because Jabari Smith and other guys are still on the table, and it's a 4-star commitment not being talked about a whole lot in terms of the impact that he could have. I mean, I feel like Corey Walker, maybe we're writing him off just because we're talking so much about Jaden Springer and Keon Johnson in the backcourt. And since Fulkerson and Pons are coming back, the expectation, I think, from a lot of people just isn't there that Corey Walker is going to come in and do much of anything. So it is kind of funny when you look at it, because you've got a 6'8", 4-star power forward from Virginia coming in, one of the top players from his state. You're talking about a top 100 recruit nationally from the 2020 class, and it's kind of a huge question mark as whether or not he's even going to play his freshman season. I'm sure you'll see him on the floor, but when you consider so many front court players that Tennessee's coming back and bringing in a grad transfer in EJ Anasicki, it's kind of funny that Corey Walker's not getting talked about enough, and Tennessee's still trying to heavily pursue other 5-star power forwards for the class of 2021, and Paolo Banchero, who ultimately committed to Duke, and Jabari Smith, who, by the way, was logged in and watching on Instagram Live when Kennedy Chandler announced his commitment to Tennessee. So perhaps a little bit of early recruiting going on from Chandler already, and especially when you've got John Morant yelling at Paul Biancardi to learn how to figure out Instagram to send Kennedy Chandler an invite so they can get that sorted out. That's a whole nother conversation, but Kennedy Chandler's announcement kind of raised some eyebrows with some of the people that were in the comments section and were logged in on Instagram Live watching that joint broadcast between Kennedy Chandler and SportsCenter's official Instagram account. So, again, Kennedy Chandler commits to Tennessee. That you already knew. Paolo Banchero, someone that was expected to maybe be pulled into the Tennessee realm a little bit further by Kennedy Chandler, ultimately elects to commit to Duke. So Tennessee still going after Jabari Smith, the five-star power forward out of Georgia. Bracketology update. Haven't done one of those in a while. Where does Joe Lunardi have Tennessee in his latest bracketology? What does the SEC look like for the upcoming season? Talking about that next right here on the Behind the Arc podcast. I appreciate you checking out the Behind the Arc podcast. And bracketology is always really interesting this time of year because the whole scheme just looks so different from what we were looking at back in March and April when we were hoping for an NCAA championship to be played. And you still had some bracketologists updating their brackets even after the NCAA tournament was canceled. But just from what we were looking at in late February, early March, just a totally different outlook, especially when you consider typical powers like North Carolina that just weren't having great seasons. You obviously expect them to be back. Teams that maybe were mediocre last year that scored big recruiting classes are going to have major contributions and major improvements. Tennessee could probably be in that category because it likely wasn't going to the NCAA tournament last year. And now the expectation is that Tennessee is going to be a top 15 team. And Joe Lunardi, in his bracketology that he last updated on August 10th, earlier in the summer, he had Tennessee as a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament, which was tied for the highest seed for an SEC team with Kentucky. Kentucky is still at a 4. He has dropped Tennessee to a number 5 seed. He did that back in July. That's still the case for Tennessee, and a couple of other SEC teams have actually taken hits as well. LSU and Arkansas are still at 8 seeds. Ole Miss and Alabama have both dropped to 10 seeds. Florida is still at a 6 seed, and that's what confuses me a lot, while Kentucky still sits as the highest SEC team with a 4 seed. The fact that Florida is a 6 seed, and I'm honestly not entirely convinced that Florida is going to be one of the top 6 teams in the SEC, let alone in college basketball. And I realize some of the talent that they have coming back. You have Keontae Johnson. That's great. Scotty Lewis. Okay, you're getting contributions if you're Florida. But you've lost Andrew Nembhard to Gonzaga as a transfer. You've lost Kerry Blackshear Jr., the graduate transfer from Virginia Tech. He has graduated. I just don't see how Mike White can receive the benefit of the doubt in terms of early season expectations when this team was ranked 6th in the country to start last season and was really a fringe at-large tournament team. At best, they were looking at an 8 or a 9 seed. You're talking about the 8 or 9 game where you play that game. And had we had a tournament, and that's where Florida's seed line ended up being, there was no way I was going to pick them in a first round matchup. I certainly was not going to take them to upset a 1 seed and get to the Sweet 16. There are some 8 seeds where you will take that chance and you will say, yeah, I can see them beating this 1 seed and getting to the Sweet 16. You saw that happen to North Carolina State a few years ago when it stunned Villanova in the second round when Villanova was a 1 seed. So it does happen. It's not the craziest thing to pick an 8-9 upset over a 1, but the issue that I have is Florida had all this expectation and talent a year ago, and it fell flat on its face, and Mike White continues to get the benefit of the doubt in the SEC that he's going to have Florida better this season without Kerry Blackshear Jr., without Andrew Nembhard. I realize Keontae Johnson could develop into being a fantastic player, an all-SEC caliber player. The production just is not there for me when it comes to Mike White at Florida. And so for the Gators, maybe I'm just selling stock a little bit low. Arkansas, and again, this was August 10th, so this was before Isaiah Joe had elected to re-enter the NBA draft. So Arkansas will probably drop out of Lunardi's bracketology. They're sitting at an 8 seed right now. So 7 teams in the SEC that are in Lunardi's bracketology, Alabama and Ole Miss being bubble teams. But I would expect Arkansas to fall out. I know Gary Parrish of CBSSports.com took Arkansas entirely out of his top 25 and won after Isaiah Joe announced he was going back to the NBA draft. And Arkansas could still be a good basketball team, but it is going to be so much tougher to make the NCAA tournament, really make a run in the SEC without a sharpshooter like Joe. He's a great scorer. You don't have Mason Jones anymore. And not to mention, you're just such a terrible rebounding team. And Arkansas lost games last year because it couldn't rebound the basketball. And we saw a sample size of what this team is, even with Mason Jones, how much it struggles when Joe is not on the floor. And he missed five games, and Arkansas pretty much blew any shot it had at securing a better seed in the NCAA tournament as a result of that. And his tournament hopes were kind of on the fritz by the time we got to the SEC tournament. So for Arkansas, Eric Musselman is really going to have to do a big coach him up job. And he's got a great recruiting class coming in. He's got some good transfers coming in. He has some talent coming back, but you're losing your two best players. Isaiah Joe suddenly and abruptly decides to go back to the NBA draft. And I don't know if this is going to be the season that Musselman was really hoping for. And really, his first two seasons, he's kind of gotten blindsided because the Isaiah Joe injury really took away a lot of momentum that Arkansas had going into the later portions of the season in the SEC schedule. And if that doesn't happen, I mean, they probably get a big win over Auburn at one point, a game that they blew in the second half and then lost in overtime, lost a couple of other close games during that stretch, including some teams that they shouldn't have lost to. Then you take into account, okay, now Mason Jones is gone, and then we think we're going to have Isaiah Joe back this year, and we should at least be a tournament team. That's not entirely guaranteed anymore, especially with the non-conference schedule and the season as a whole up in the air. If you're limited to conference games and you're having trouble rebounding, there are some teams in that conference that are going to really pick on Arkansas a lot, because that was a team that went 7-11 in SEC play last year. That is not something that you can repeat in a conference-only schedule and expect to have high hopes of making the tournament. So for Arkansas, Eric Musselman, big job ahead of him in year number two down in Fayetteville. LSU sitting as an 8 seed right now, despite all the talent it has coming back with Darius Days and Javonte Smart and Trendon Wofford, the former 5-star recruit, all electing to come back to Baton Rouge. Again, I think LSU is probably the early 3 seed. That's where I had them in my early power rankings. I had Arkansas as a top 5 team. That's definitely not where I have them now. Ole Miss probably takes the spot there. Ole Miss sitting at as a 10 seed, Alabama as a 10 seed. Both of those teams should be tournament teams this year. Ole Miss has a really impressive recruiting class, as well as some impressive transfers able to come in that can make an impact right away, including Romello White from Arizona State. Alabama, strong recruiting class, should have some momentum moving forward with Nate Oates in his second season. And I love the transfer from Yale, Jordan Bruner. Love him in the front court. Love what he can contribute to Alabama. I think he could potentially work his way into significant playing time in the SEC. I don't think that's out of the question at all. I thought he was really, really impressive at Yale. Tennessee sitting as a 5 seed. I feel like Tennessee fans would be disappointed if that's where Tennessee ended up, especially as an early 12th, 13th ranked team in the country. And with the comments that we heard from Desmond Oliver earlier this month, the expectations in-house are better than a 5 seed. I mean, you're talking essentially one of the best 16 to 22 teams in the country, which would obviously be a significant improvement from where Tennessee was this past season. It would feel like a disappointment. And while I realize that the schedule and the seeding right now lays out for Joe Lunardi that Kentucky's a 4, Tennessee's a 5, to me, if Tennessee is a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament, it would indicate that it did not win the SEC. And I think Tennessee is the early favorite to win the SEC. Eve Pons is coming back. John Fulkerson's coming back. The backcourt is loaded, and it's adding weapons despite losing Jordan Bound and Lamonte Turner. You have Devontae Gaines that has another year. Victor Bailey Jr. is now eligible. You're adding 2 5-star guards. You've got depth in the front court that you didn't have a season ago. It's such a deep team. And Desmond Oliver, Tennessee's assistant coach, suggested it was a deeper team than the team 2 years ago that won 31 games and believes that they could be playing up until the last game of the season. And Gary Parrish of CBS Sports joined Sports Talk, our afternoon show, that same week and said, you know, I don't like classifying teams as a Final Four team or a Sweet 16 team, but Tennessee is the type of team that could play its way into being a Final Four contender. And for Tennessee, the fans and the coaching staff, as well as the players, the expectations are higher. And I don't know if the rest of the country has fully taken notice of that yet. With the depth that Tennessee has, the expectation, easily, Tennessee should be one of the best two teams in the SEC. It should ultimately come down to Tennessee and Kentucky. And there might be a bit of a gap between Tennessee, Kentucky, and LSU. Now, Will Wade has proven he's a great coach. Obviously, there are off-the-court issues that can be addressed at a later time. But when we're talking X's and O's on a basketball court, LSU has talent, and it has a coach that knows how to maximize that talent. And LSU is going to be a threat. Tennessee and Kentucky are the early favorites, and I think Tennessee should have the edge. That's going to do it for this edition of the Behind the Arc podcast. Thank you so much for listening, whether it's on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, the website 99.1thesportsanimal.com, or on the Sports Radio WNML app. Please, please, please rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Leave a review. If you have questions for the show, feel free to reach out to me at Joel Silverberg on Twitter. Thank you again so much for listening. Have a great week. We'll do it again next week, talking college hoops up until the start of the season, through the season, right here on the Behind the Arc podcast.
Behind the Arc with Joel Silverberg on The Sports Animal.